did it for you. I did it for you. Yeah. Yeah. I did it for you. That's why I did it, y'all. For all the listeners, did it for you. Whoever been hearing this. Yeah. That's why I do what I do. Do it for you. Do it for you. Do it for you.
This evening. Lord, we're grateful, Father, for this day, Lord God, and all that it had, Lord God, and all that happened, and everything, Father. We are just so grateful, Lord, for the way that you watch over and take care of your people, Lord, and walk us through this life, and for every trial and every strain, Father God, that we go through, because each and every one of those things stretches us, Lord God, and conforms us, Lord, into your image, Father, makes us what you want us to be. So, Lord, just this day, Lord God, we just come before you as your people. First of all, Lord, we do bow at your feet, Father. We ask for your will and your way. We ask that if we're off on anything, Lord, that you would correct us. And, Lord, we pray, Father God, also that you would just strengthen us this day, Lord, as we wait on you. We bind every demonic force, every attack of the enemy. We cast it out and we call it null and void, Father. And, Lord, we pray for the free flow of your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, that you would teach us, Lord, even as your Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, Lord, lead and guide us this evening. Father, I get out of the way completely acknowledging openly, Lord, that it's only your Spirit in me, Father, that is good. So to your Spirit I yield as we go forward in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, cool. right. Now, we finished the last series, totally. Is there anything that we need to kind of touch on between the last series and this one? As far as questions, concerns, things that need to be cleared up? Tony was nervous about stuff. It's okay. Okay, cool.
Pop quiz.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I want, you know, okay, this has been really, really cool for me these last couple of weeks, because I want to just get right into this one, and we might go a little bit short this evening, but I want to start this one. Okay. Something that I heard a friend in the States, my buddy in New Mexico, Zeph, and then Chandala recently got touched on another piece through him, and different people have been touching on these different pieces for me, and it's kind of all been coming together, even like while I've been, you know, studying and thinking about this stuff and meditating on it. And it's really exciting, because it's just like all of a sudden now there's some things that are just starting to like make sense about, even, you know, sometimes you have done something the right way and you didn't realize you were doing it the right way until later on, and then all of a sudden, like later on, something is shown and you're like, oh wow, you were doing it the right way all the time, and this is why. And so like you're eating vegetables and then you found out, hey gosh, those are really good for you, great, I'm so glad I was eating vegetables. But like then after a while you like realize, oh well, this is good and this is why, and then you make some changes, some modifications, and you really are like, you understand. When you have actually quick Proverbs 19 okay, Proverbs 19, and where, okay, Proverbs 19, where it says that okay, verse 2 says, also the soul that be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. So, and I kind of like the way too, the KJV as well, where it says that, or the NIV where it says, you know, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. But in both of those, basically saying, look, you need a balance of wisdom and understanding in this walk as we go through this life. Scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's not, and by and large, you know, it's not for lack of cash, it's not for a lack of political connection, it's not for lack of whatever. It's, and there is a wisdom and an understanding that comes from God that will sustain, that will protect, that will guard your life. And but it's also, there's a wisdom and an understanding that comes from God that will keep you on this way. See, Jesus in John 14:6 said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now, I'm going to overlay a lot of stuff and touch on it initially. John 10 talked about him being the good shepherd. The good shepherd leads the sheep, calls them out by name. Right, so then you have the good shepherd that's leading us on the way, which is Christ Jesus. And in this way that we're going, in this path that we're going, there's, you will be, those that are led by the Spirit are the true sons of God, sons and daughters of God. So now we're led by the Spirit. Now if you're led by the Spirit, and if He's the shepherd calling his sheep by name, what does that imply that we hear? What are we hearing if we're being led by Him? We're hearing His voice and Him speaking. And Him speaking to us wherever it is that we are in this path and in this journey that we're walking out in this life. Right? Okay. Alright. I got to touch on something, the Greekish stuff in this, because when scriptures use, when they say, the word, when it just uses something like the word, there's two different, like in the Greek, you have logos and you have rhema. And both of those can be, in English we interchange it for, oh, that's the word. But there's a difference between the two, and this is why I wish I wasn't so rushed today in putting this together, because I would have been able to go back through. But actually, here, hold on. Maybe I can pull this up here. But, okay. Rhema, alright, is here. Defined as an utterance individually, collectively, or specifically, by implication, a matter or topic, especially a narration, command, or dispute, with a negative not, where evil plus nothing says word. See, this is, I need to go through this before. And then the other one is, the other one is logos, but I'm not going to pull that up right now. But basically here, the logos is, in an eternal sense, the logos is the definitive counsel of God, the written word of God established throughout eternity, before time began, after time will end, the complete, infinite, that's it, that's the word.
Unchanging,
timeless word of God. And Christ Jesus being the word made flesh, Christ Jesus being the logos encapsulated in a human body, right? That being the word of God, the complete, unchanging, dynamic word of God. And rhema is the spoken word, is the spoken word. And what rhema is it is a it's when God takes that which is from eternity, from the logos, and brings it into your temporal situation right now, where you are, where am I, where we are right now, and makes the logos applicable to where we are in this current moment in time here. Okay? I'll give you an example. And I'll show you. Because here's why. Alright, see, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The word of God, the word, for example, in this one it says, cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, the rhema of God. Faith cometh by hearing the rhema of God. So, for example, we go through this life, and when we hear the voice of God speak into a current situation, current reality, something that's going on with us, and when we respond based on what it is that we hear coming from Him, that in turn builds our faith. Faith comes by that response and our reaction and our obedience to the rhema of whatever God shows us in this moment in time. Right? So for example, you have 5 job opportunities in front of you, and you don't know which one to pick. And you just sit down before the Father and you're like, Lord, what do I do? And God says, okay, I want you to take number 4. Or He says, hey, I don't want you to take any of them. Or He says, hey, you know, wait for a week. Or He says, you see what I'm saying? Like He will give you a word in that situation as you're waiting on Him. And based on what He shows you, when you respond and you act in accordance with whatever it is that He reveals to you, that then, faith comes out of that action and that walk and that response. And the thing about it is that the rhema is right now. It's this. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember the prayer of John in Matthew 6? Give us this day our day. And Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. He is that. So we get from Him, from the infinite, we get the daily bread that we need, which is the rhema for this day, which is the food that comes from Him for this day, for this moment, that out of that food that He feeds us, it sustains us and builds our spiritual body. But it's right now. It's the faith that works. It's what you need right now for this moment to walk through what you're in right now. And so what happens is that you will... This is why it's so important that each person walks with the Father for themselves, because what He'll show you today may not be what's applicable for a week from now. So He may tell you to go right 5 times in a row, and then the next day He'll tell you go left. You know, okay, for example, one for me I was thinking about the other day was like one time I was in the morning... this is several years back, but I was going, you know, just like in the morning, I'd like to spend some time praying. But I went to pray, and as I was going to pray, God told me, I don't want you to pray right now. He said, I want you to go somewhere. And He told me where I was supposed to go. Now, you know, and it was very definitive. It was kind of like, yeah, I could just stay there and try to pray, but He was not in that right then. What He wanted me to do was get up and go somewhere. And so I listened to what He told me to do. I got up, I went, and out of me getting up and going to that place, I met some people that I didn't plan on meeting when I went to that place, and out of that meeting was what bridged me into working with Tearfront, for example. Now, I would have never met them had I said, nope, it's Wednesday and it's 6:45 and this is what I do at 6:45. Yeah. No, I would have missed God. I would have missed what He was doing. God was speaking to me in that situation, and there was a response that He wanted out of me in that thing. And out of that response, now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to spend my life with working as a consultant with Tear Fund. But one thing bridged to the next. The next one bridged to the next. And each thing is a sequence of steps that God is orchestrating, and He's counting on you and I to hear, to respond, and to obey, because each one builds. And each one builds our faith, each one builds the journey, each one builds in what happens with us while we're here. Okay. Two instructions that were given, okay, in Revelation chapter 2, 2 and chapter 3, right? The Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 is the seven churches, and Jesus giving instruction to the seven churches. Now here, you know what's so cool about Revelation? And this is also why too, you know, when like people, there's so much in it. There's so much in the entire Word of God, there's so much in there. But see, so something like this, when somebody's like, oh yeah, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 is about the seven church ages. And it's a sequence of time from the time that Jesus Christ came into the earth. And each one, you can see the progression of time if you go down a linear path, how each one of these was an event in a season of time all the way up to the modern day Laodicean church, which is the last church age. And somebody would be like, yes, that's it. Yeah, I can see that. I can also see the next one, which is somebody saying, hey, it is a type of every local church in the world. So if you look at the seven churches, you will see every church that you could possibly encounter will fall into one of these seven categories. Okay, I've seen that before. You could also say that the seven churches is a type of each individual. And each individual, and God's spoken to me out of that before. I've been reading the seven churches before, and then God has spoken to me out of this as a person whose life identifies with an instruction given to one of those churches and what I'm supposed to do in that situation. As you, so it's like three readings of the same one, and yet each one of them, and this is why when somebody comes up with this thing where they're like, okay, hear this, God's showing you something. Yeah, He's showing you something for where you are right now in this situation. But if you try to create your rules and dogmas and your 16 fundamental steps of faith based on what may be a very true revelation that God's giving you right now, you will have built a monument where God is moving. See, God is Jesus Christ continues to move, and people with sometimes very real revelation that God's given them, but it was yesterday's bread. And then today they try to feed somebody else that which God gave them yesterday, and Jesus Christ has moved on. It may be very true, very, very applicable. But see, the Logos is that which is unchanging, that which is eternal, that which every one of us needs that spiritual connection to, that Christ Jesus made the way for that to happen. The Rhema is what you and I receive every day. Give us this day our daily bread. This is what we need to receive from the Father. Now, for example, back to, say, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Every church is given two things in common for all of them. The first one I always seen, and then Chandler talked about the second one. I was like, oh my gosh, that's it, that's it. First one, or one thing, is that to him that overcomes, right? Every church was instructed to overcome, right? The other one, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit speaks to the churches. But to he that hath an ear, let him hear. And every church, every believer, every follower of Christ is given an instruction, period. This is where you get the Logos and you get the Rhema and you see some consistencies. Every one of us is instructed to hear, to him that has an ear, let him hear, and to overcome. Now, Jesus came to recover sight for the blind. He gave those that couldn't hear, he allowed them to hear. I mean, recovery of hearing for the deaf. He did that. So Christ Jesus creates the way for us to be able to hear the voice of God. But there is also a response that we now, so there's a few things. One is we have to be in a place where you can hear. You want to be able to hear. You want to be in a place where you can hear what God is speaking to you. And then you also want to come to a spot where whatever it is that the Spirit of God is speaking to you, that your immediate response is to willfully obey that instruction that the Spirit of God shows you, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear the Rhema of God. We hear that voice that the Spirit of God is speaking right here, right now, in this moment. And as we respond to it, as we take a step, an action, based on what it is that God shows us, that then strengthens our faith. That then builds us into the spiritual walk. That then is us. Let him, if anyone's going to come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What does deny yourself mean? Except just, Lord, your way, not mine, every day. Right? And that's all it is. And then but if we're doing that, we're on our way to die. And you're dying to yourself and you're choosing this path of life and hearing the voice of the Spirit. So, but the overcoming comes in the willful response to what it is that you hear from the Spirit of God in this moment, right now, as He shows it and reveals it to you. Now, here's a few keys that I've been picking up from different people, as well as kind of what God's been showing me. One is, you will see, and this is what's happened historically, is you will see people in leadership positions teaching Rhema as if it was Logos. So for example, I've got a pastor that I know in the States. Love the guy dearly, and he does have my respect. But this guy, right, he had an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic before, or he had a problem with alcohol. Now, part of his own walk and part of his own cleaning up process, as God was working with him, the Spirit was working with him. So God opened his eyes to him. He was walking with Christ, and then somewhere in that journey along the way, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Hey, I don't want you to drink anymore." And he went over and took every single bottle that he had, dumped it down the sink. Great, praise God. And then he went to his congregation and he said, "God told me He doesn't want us to drink. He doesn't want me to drink. And if He doesn't want me to drink, He doesn't want you to drink. Because He's speaking to me as your pastor, giving me the right way, because I've got the oversight for you, so I'm going to instruct you, you guys don't drink." And and the thing is like, for me, for example, something like that, I'm like, okay, I know God spoke that to him. Guaranteed, 100%. No, God spoke that to him. No issue about that at all. But then, if that's the case, why is Jesus' first miracle turning water into wine? Why is Jesus referred to as a drunken and a wine bibber? He said, "This is what other people are calling me." Jesus, yeah, because you remember John the Baptist, when he said, Jesus going back to, he said, "Look, John came neither eating nor drinking," and he said, or Jesus came, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. He said, "Here's a wine bibber, friend of tax collectors and sinners, a drunken and a glutton, wine bibber." Like, here, hang on, let me find it for you. This is the ones that I. Okay, I need to find this one. Okay, here, I'll give you the gist of it. I'll have to find it later. This is why I wish I had more time to prep today. Jesus said that when he's speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "The Son of Man came neither John came neither eating nor drinking. And you said of him, oh, he's got a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And you said, here's a wine bibber and a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Basically, and then Jesus said, "But wisdom is proved right by its children." And okay. Okay, here it is. Sorry. That is Luke chapter 7. Verse 33, it says, "For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath the devil. The Son of Man cameth eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified by all her children." Now, in this particular case, basically Jesus is saying, look, you don't have a heart for truth. And it didn't matter the package that it came in. whatever the package that it came in, you found some reason to discredit it. You found some reason to find fault with it. You found something off with it. So at the end of the day, it's like ultimately you don't have a heart for truth. It doesn't matter how it shows up. But also notice here too how Jesus came one way, John came another way, but both of them were absolutely sent by God in two completely different formats, completely different forms. Yet those that had a heart for truth saw it. Those that didn't have a heart for truth discounted it, discredited it, and said it has to come our own way. Now, what happened back to the case with that pastor? So here we have a case of like, all right, the Son of God himself showing up in a certain way where it's like, but yet the Spirit of God working with somebody today in time that has an issue in that area, saying for you, this is off limits because that's just the way I'm working with you. Now, there are some things in the Bible very clear. Very, like for example, flee sexual immorality. Great, fantastic. It's very, very clear about something like that. Because, again, why? Because something like that hurts your ability to hear. Something like that hurts your ability to hear the voice of the Spirit of God when He's trying to instruct you, when He's trying to teach you. It has an effect on you. It impacts your whole being. So God is giving instruction to His people. God is showing them, look, if you want to walk this life out, if you want the overcoming life, if you want the abundant life that I'm offering, if you don't want to be stuck as a slave in this world system and then die living your whole life in that slavery and that bondage, here's a way out. Here's the way out. But it comes on my terms. And so with each one of these things, as He's showing it, there's a response that we have. But what's happened by and large, and this is what's happened throughout the denominational world for sure, is they've taken Rhema and they've institutionalized doctrine around something that was happening at some period of time, and then they built a monument around that, and then they've got everybody stuck in there, and they said, you will eat this old bread and you will like it. You will eat this and you will like it. Don't tell me there's anything wrong with it. This was good enough. There was an amazing move of God that took place. You are going to eat it and you're going to like it. And God's moved on from there. This is why, too, when you start walking with Him, you won't make sense. You will not make sense. You will not make sense to the world around you. You will not make sense to the people that have your best interest at heart, so it would seem. Because what they want you to do is check your soul at the door, become part of the world system, play the slave game, and think about it. What's the sequence in the world? The whole thing about the world is, okay, you know, you gotta grow up and you gotta go to the right schools and you gotta know what you're gonna be and you gotta get married at such an age and then you gotta have your kids and they gotta go to the right schools and you gotta have this such and such job and you better be saving for your retirement. And, it's just a game. The whole game is to keep your soul locked in. To keep your soul locked into the prison all the way through from cradle to grave. And if Jesus Christ is revealing and speaking and people start responding to that voice as He shows it and reveals it to them, all of a sudden now they can't be enslaved anymore. They can actually walk out of this thing. So it's a very, very dangerous prospect for the world and the world system, and that's why you're so bombarded on every side. Your mind is bombarded. You're spiritually attacked. You'd switch on the television and all of it's just blah, loud. Everything. All of it is to keep you from, to keep you from a place where you can hear that voice of what the Spirit of God is saying to you right now, this day, this moment. This is the way I want you to walk. Everything to keep you distracted from hearing the voice of God. So all of that is there to keep you from that. And that's why there's some things that we can do. We're not helpless in this thing. There are things that we can definitely do, so that we can put ourselves naturally, spiritually, mentally in a place where we're attuned to the voice of the Spirit. And then out of that voice and the instruction that He gives us, then to respond, then it's a willful response. And it's just, each moment becomes like that. Each moment that you're alive becomes something along those lines. I know recently for myself, there's a few places where God's really stretched me. Because, you know, in difficult situations, He will then tell me to sit and do something that seemingly would make it more difficult. You know, I had one in particular just a couple of weeks ago where it's just like, I'm in the middle of something difficult. And then God says, hey, I want you to do this. Now that in and of itself, for me, I'm like, this would, in my natural thinking, this would make my life more difficult if I do this. But it stayed with me, it persisted, and then I was like, okay, this is, and I knew then too, I checked it, one way I checked it, it's like, oh, the devil's never going to ask me to do what God's just asking me to do right now. So, you know, I don't have to worry about that being something coming from there. But as I responded, above all, I got a peace in that situation. And it's like, ha. Whereas before, my mind was chewed up because I was trying to figure out what to do. Now, there's an element, again, back to even this thing about hearing, and actually the title of the series, this one, The Hearing Ear. What you and I and we need, you, and especially right now and what the world is coming into, is to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, what He's saying, what He's instructing, and then out of that hearing for us to respond. So I think today we're going to cut it short, but this is just a little bit of an overview to kind of get the thinking going. But I've noticed an amazing onslaught from the devil when you begin to start to understand the initial piece of this. Because if you get this, if we get this, if I get this, I mean, even the other day, like, see, here's the thing about the Logos too. Your brain would blow up if you tried to download the Logos into your brain, of like the full counsel of the Word of God. We physically, mentally cannot handle that. So what God gives us as vessels with a limited capacity is He gives us what we need right now. The Spirit of God speaks to us what you need right now to carry you through and strengthen you in the situation that you're in. But as in the other day, even I was beginning to understand this, I was like, God, please don't. But I was like, I was having the hardest time even with that, because it was kind of overwhelming for me. And I was like, whoa. And just saying, Lord, I don't want this to just slip through. You know, because it just, sometimes you feel like that, because there's just so much there and you can't, it's just like, it's being poured in, and it's just like, I don't want to lose this. Because if I can get this one, if I can live my life out with this one, because there's an interconnection between hearing, overcoming. Let him that has an ear, let him hear. I mean, how many times, even with Jesus? All right, here's another one too. I'll give you this one more. How many times have you been in some situation where you'll be like, oh wow, God spoke to me. He showed me something. Now, He spoke to you. Somebody's sitting right next to you, and they got something else. Like the other day when I was speaking on Friday, and somebody came up to me after the meeting, and they just said, you know what, that was just want to tell you, thank you, God just confirmed something about me going up to the north and working with these kitchens, and I was really just thinking about this thing about working with these IVPs, and just want to say, I wasn't thinking anything about, I didn't know anything about what's going on with that person at all. But the Spirit of the Lord knew exactly where that person was, and He chose to, in that situation, inadvertently, I'm not doing it, but the Spirit of the Lord knows what that person needs, and it's laced with His Spirit as the words come through you, and He will get that response, that and that, that to the person that's waiting on the Lord, that's prayed and asked, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I need that word from you. I need that revelation from you. Show me which way to go. How do I walk through this thing? He will get that word to them. And I'll be have a meeting and be in a meeting like that, and there will be three people that will come up to me afterwards, and each one will say something completely different about what they got out of the message. And none of them was anything that I was intending. So one will say this, one will say this, one will say this, and each one of them is like a whole different response. One is like, oh, I got to clean my life up. Oh, I was struggling with this bitterness and this anger. Another one was like, gosh, it's just, you know, I just feel like a weight's been lifted. I don't know. I'm along for the ride. You know, so I'm just along for whatever it is that God's doing. But the Spirit of the Lord is doing that with us. But see, this is why, too, the individual will, that's connected to the head, will receive the rhema from the Spirit of God for what you and I need at this moment in time to walk this next thing out, respective to how God has made and uniquely designed you. See, this is where, too, like each of us is differently made. Each of us has different assignments. Each of us responds differently to a situation. One thing that would make one person depressed is the same thing that will make another person respond and just be like, wow, this is a challenge and I'm all up for it. And the same thing will overjoy someone. It's the weirdest thing. For me, you throw me into a disaster situation, and for me it's like I respond a different way. I'm like built for that. For me it's like if I'm in a situation where it's like things are bad, I don't know why, but it's like that's the way that God's made me, where it's just like my mind thinks really clearly and know the next course of action. I know how to put order to something in that situation and how to just get the right pieces moving. Whereas other people are like melting down, like I'm built for that kind of thing. Whereas like there's certain things where I'm like, I'm not that great at it. I know that. So each of us is uniquely designed in a situation for a certain response. And this is why, too, the Spirit of God works with each of us on an individual, custom-built, homemade level just for you, just for me, just for us. He works with us on that level. And so this is why, too, you can never institutionalize it. You can never package it. You can never mass market it. The role of a church, as far as any body of believers goes, is to encourage you as an individual in that line. And by and large, what I've seen, they can't do that. They can't afford that. Because if you understand for yourself, now I'm talking about the satanic institution of religion that claims Jesus but doesn't know it. But if you understand your own power, your own connection with Him, and if you walk that out, that in and of itself has you're like the wind. You become a John 3 person, and that in and of itself is incredibly dangerous, because you now can do anything for every moment that you're alive here in the world. And so I'm really excited about this one right now. I've been like, and that's why too, like even today with all the stuff that came up, as I was trying to get back here to dig into this more, but we'll definitely spend some time covering this one. And but if we can, I'm totally, and all these messages I'm preaching to to myself as well. I'm sharing with myself as well. But if we can grab this one, receive this one, this is really important, because also it affects every moment of your time here in the earth. And it is the difference between living a victorious, overcoming life and being a slave while you're here. So, with that, I think we'll stop there for this evening.